With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Gators Breakdown. The Gators Fan Podcast. Because there's never a dull moment in Gator Nation.
The Gators Breakdown Podcast is ready to go. I am your host, David Waters, and you can find me on Twitter at GatorDave_SEC. And joining me this episode to preview the Gators Peach Bowl opponent is Steve Lorenz from 24/7 Sports, the Michigan Insider. We'll break down the Wolverines and all the storylines surrounding Michigan heading into the final game of this 2018 season, Peach Bowl in Atlanta for the Gators, and trying to finish out with 10 wins on the season. But before we get there, remember, you can find Gators Breakdown on newsforjax.com/GatorsBreakdown. There you'll find all the Gators Breakdown episodes, as well as articles from the News for Jacks sports team. Also, catch us on iTunes, Google Play, YouTube, Spotify. And when using those services, please share, rate, and review the show. And on social media, follow Gators Breakdown on Twitter and Facebook at Gators Breakdown. All right, let's get to Steve Lorenz from the Michigan Insider from 24/7 Sports to preview these Michigan Wolverines. Steve, thank you so much for joining me here on Gators Breakdown.
Appreciate it. Yeah, no problem.
Okay, and of course, coming off the Ohio State game, that's where everyone's pointing to right now. So, you know, pointing to the mindset and motivation for this Michigan team, you know, after having their sights set on the Big Ten championship in the college football playoff, what would you say that the mindset and motivation for this Michigan team is right now?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. I mean, I look at it big picture-wise, I actually do kind of feel like the two teams meeting are the motivations are a little bit opposite directions almost. I think Michigan is probably deflated. I think it's going to be really interesting to see how they come out on Saturday. You know, Florida, I think, looking to take that next step in year one already, you know, looking like probably better than I assume most Florida fans thought they would in year one. So for Michigan, I think it's going to be really interesting to see how they react and how they rebound. You know, they got shellacked in Columbus for, 14th time in 15 years. It's been a long haul for Michigan fans in that regard and for the players. And then now you have four good players for Michigan that are going to be sitting out. So I think there's a really interesting dynamic in that regard. I think there's – defensively, I think there's going to be a lot of desire to reverse what happened in Columbus. I mean, they were the number one defense in the country going into the game. I think they still finished one statistically, but pretty much that unit was embarrassed, maybe for the first real time under Don Brown. So I think they're going to be hungry. Offensively, I think they're going to want to do a little bit more in the passing game than they have. I think they're going to try to utilize those guys a little bit more on the outside than Nico Collins, Donovan Peoples-Jones. So, you know, I think there's a motivation to finish the season strong. They got beat by South Carolina last year in the bowl game. I think that's still kind of fresh in a lot of these guys' minds too. But in my honest opinion, I feel like the two teams have a lot. It's a different type of situation that they're each playing for in this game.
And Steve, the Gator fans, when this game was announced, it was kind of split. You know, oh, it's ho-hum, we're playing Michigan again. But then the other half of the fan base was, hey, it's the Peach Bowl, it's a big name opponent. The Gator fan base was kind of split on playing Michigan again. What's the gauge of the Michigan fan base on having to play Florida again?
Disappointment. Just if only because it's the third time in 4 years that the two teams have played. You know, I don't think it was anything about, you know, if they played LSU three times in the last 4 years, I think it'd have been the same thing. I think fans wanted to see them play somebody a little bit different. I also think, you know, I got to assume that there's some within the fan base that see, you know, Michigan has kind of dominated those last two games against Florida and figure that Florida's going to have. That's another aspect of motivation that Florida's going to have coming into this game, is that they're going to want to reverse the trend against Michigan. You know, a lot of the guys on this year's team were there last year at Cowboys Stadium. So, You know, I think for Michigan fans, I do. I think there was definitely some disappointment, but if only just because they've seen the same team three times in the last four seasons.
And Steve, before we move on further in a preview of this Florida-Michigan matchup, what went wrong versus Ohio State? You know, the last game Michigan played, you know, what happened where it just kind of snowballed into the second half of that game where, you know, after halftime or you get to halftime, it's a game, but then in the second half, Ohio State just comes out and dominates?
Biggest thing to me, you know, they played Indiana the week before. And one thing I had taken notice of against Indiana, you know, middle of the road, maybe below average team in the Big Ten, but had a good offensive line. They were really able to stop Michigan's defensive front from getting any pressure with just four guys. We talked about that going into the Ohio State game that, you know, if the defensive line played like they did against Indiana, they were going to be in trouble. And that's exactly what happened. You look back to 2 years before this year's game against Ohio State, I think, 2016, 2017 combined, Michigan had something like 36 tackles for a loss in the two games against Ohio State. Their defensive front had manhandled Ohio State up front in both those games. This game was a complete reversal of that. Dwayne Haskins was clean in the pocket all day, able to get, you know, they have probably the most athletic group of receivers Michigan had faced, and he was able to just pick them apart. Really, I don't know if he went to the ground, but maybe once. Behind the line of scrimmage. And, you know, with Haskins now, with Herbert coming back to Oregon, you know, Haskins looking like the top NFL prospect at quarterback, you know, you give a guy like that time with an elite group of receivers, and, you know, no matter how good your defense is, they're going to struggle. And so I think that was really the biggest thing that went wrong. A couple coverage mismatches, too, that Ohio State continued to take advantage of. But, again, that still really came down to the fact that Michigan got no pressure with their front four. So that's where I think that they lost the game. The offense, while they ended up with putting up 39 points, I think the offense was still kind of maddeningly inconsistent, made a lot of mistakes. But, really, I think this was a game that you would definitely put on the defense. You can't give up 62 points and then say that the offense was the primary reason you lose the game, right? So 62. I thought the pass rush was mediocre at best, and Dwayne Haskins was basically able to just pick them apart.
All right, now we'll look ahead kind of just this season in general and the game coming up Saturday with Florida and Michigan. Steve Lorenz from the Michigan Insider joining us here on Gators Breakdown. Steve, how much of a difference does Shea Patterson make, the Ole Miss transfer in this offense? Of course, you know, Florida and Michigan met in the first game last year. Both teams were still trying to figure out the quarterback position, but Michigan had really had it figured out this year with Shea Patterson.
Yeah, his season, I think, rating, passer rating-wise, completion percentage-wise, was one of the best in Michigan history, which is pretty impressive when you consider some of the guys that have come through there. I think he's been great. He's reliable. He does not turn the ball over very often. The one thing I think really added for them, and I don't think Michigan used it enough in Columbus, was that zone read where he'd be the keeper. It really hurt Michigan State, Wisconsin, Penn State. Those teams really struggled with that when he had Higdon to give the ball to. You know, it gave him a couple options. And Patterson's really good at knowing when to keep and when to give the ball away. He's brought, sort of a steadying force, I think, to the offense. And with him coming back next year, you had Dylan McCaffrey, who really looked awesome, when he came in to spell Patterson. And then Joe Milton out of Orlando, and Florida fans are probably somewhat familiar with him. The guy with the cannon arm, is kind of that, young guy waiting in the wings who they have really, really high hopes for. So, you know, with Patterson coming back next year, their quarterback room should be one of the better in the country. But his addition, yeah, I mean, it's made a huge difference for them offensively. They've just been more consistent. They've been able to balance things out a little bit more. And the biggest thing to me is that they didn't turn the ball over nearly as much as they did last year. And I think he's the biggest reason why.
If we move to who can help Shea Patterson, well, it won't be Caron Higdon, who announced he will not play in this bowl game. You know, what does the Michigan run game bring to the table without Higdon on the field, and how much of an impact was he on this offense this season?
Well, he was first team all Big Ten, you know, so he's another, you know, you talk about Rashawn Gary, Devin Bush, Juwan Bushovady. I mean, all four of those guys are huge losses. Higdon, You know, Chris Evans is a guy that can be a really good running back, but I think Evans is a guy that's not necessarily your 25 carry, 30 carry guy like Higgins could be if you needed him to be. I think Evans is best utilized in a mix between the passing and running the ball. He's a great receiver out of the backfield as well. So Higgins is going to be a significant loss for them. I think one guy to watch is true freshman Christian Turner is really the guy that's going to kind of probably bear the load on Saturday, I would assume. I think, again, you know, the way that bowl games are kind of shifting, I think to give a true freshman an opportunity now in a game where he's not really going to burn his red shirt, I think is something that Michigan, with Higgins out, is something that they're going to look to do. Because you got a second-year guy, Maurice Samuels, was actually dismissed from the team a couple weeks ago as well. So that's technically two guys, I guess, they maybe would have gotten the ball on Saturday that won't be. So I think the onus is kind of on Turner. I'm interested to see if Michigan uses a little bit more of their fullback. Ben Mason is a guy they've used in a feature back type deal occasionally. I don't know if they'll do more of that on Saturday or not, but that's another potential option. And then, like I said, Evans is kind of the guy, 15 carries, 4 or 5 receptions type guy if they use him the way they want to use him.
And we'll move to the other side of the ball. You mentioned no Gary, no Bush on defense. Who are some of the players we can look for in their absence and stepping up for this Michigan defense?
Well, it starts with Chase Winovich, I think. You know, I think you could argue that he was their best player defensively. I think it would have been him or Bush, probably the two best players defensively, as far as consistently, you know, and consistency and just the production throughout the season. Both, though, their cornerbacks, David Long, LeVert Hill, will play on Saturday. Those are guys I think were mulling the NFL and considering sitting out, that type of stuff. Both of those guys will play on Saturday. Josh Metellus, Devin Bush's teammate, former high school teammate out of Flanagan High School down in Hollywood, Florida. He's a guy that's really emerged this year as sort of that steadying force that Patterson is on offense. I think Metellus kind of is on defense. So those are really the guys I think that'll star. I think one guy to maybe watch for in this game is Quiddy Pay, second-year defensive end. He'll be taking Rashawn Gary's spot. He's been great in pass rush-type situations, along with Josh Uche, another Florida product out of Columbus High School in Miami. Both of those guys I think are going to see a ton of snaps, and they're going to do what they can to get after the passer. So those are the guys to look for. I mean, even without Bush and Gary, their defense is still primed to potentially have some high level of success in this game. But again, you can't, you know, anticipate that necessarily, especially like I said with Bush, who's just been such a amazing player for Michigan the last 2 years.
Right. A couple more thoughts here from Steve Lorenz of the Michigan Insider. Steve, I'd be remiss to ask if you know, all the Jim Harbaugh talk, NFL talk, it got quieted down for a little while, then ramped back up with it with the Jets this past week. Does that storyline get old for Michigan fans and you guys covering the team?
Yeah. It'd be kind of dumb, I think. I just wanted to put it in a frank way for him to leave now if he was to ever entertain those. He pretty much, you know, because beating Ohio State is number one at Michigan. He hasn't done it yet. I just could never fathom him leaving before he's, you know, maybe turned the tide a little bit in that rivalry. To leave now would ruin his legacy. I mean, he was a great player at Michigan, too. I think he would greatly tarnish his legacy if he was to leave. He's never seriously entertained any of these offers, also. I think the one that was funny was heading towards signing. I think it was the day after Urban Meyer retired, where it was a former, you wouldn't believe this, but former Ohio State receiver Chris Carter comes out with this rumor about Harbaugh considering the NFL while in the same interview saying that he had a great conversation with Urban Meyer the day before. Those of us who have covered Michigan long enough know that, you know, these schools are trying to use it against Michigan and, you know, negatively recruit them. So, and then the Jets thing where an NFL team actually has to come out and say that it's not true kind of goes to show you, like, how ridiculous some of it kind of gets. So I think it does. I think what's always funny is, on one hand, you know, the national pundits who still say that Harbaugh is overrated, but then on the other hand, will say that, like, prestigious NFL franchises like the Green Bay Packers want to, you know, back up the Brinks trucks to bring him in and be their coach and run their team, you know, and stuff. It's just, there's always a funny dynamic with that kind of stuff. But, yeah, it definitely it's tiring. I don't think people pay nearly as much as they used to. I think the only reason he came out publicly this time and said something was because I do think that it was something coming up in the recruiting trail. They kind of needed to nip it in the bud and, you know, try to just make a definitive statement of where he's at and what he's thinking for the future.
Okay, and last thought here, you know, from afar, what have you noticed from this Florida team in year one under Dan Mullen? And you know, you guys kind of familiar with Dan Mullen, and you're playing in the Gator Bowl a few years ago when Mississippi State and Michigan matched up.
They're better coached. I mean, that seems pretty clear to me. I mean, you know, I like Felipe Franks personally. I don't know the full details on how he's done this season. I know he's always had the tools to be a pretty good quarterback. I don't know. Is Emory Jones a guy that's going to get a lot of run on Saturday or not in some different packages? I would assume if his redshirt is still available that he will. Defensively, they've always been solid. They were solid last year, too. I think it was just Michigan was able to hit on a few big plays. I know they had the weird thing about last year's game was, you know, Michigan ran the ball three times on, like, third and 10-plus and got it. I think they were just kind of not throwaway calls, but field position calls maybe, but then they came like 20 yards on them and move it down the field and would eventually score. I mean, I suspect that this game is going to not be anything like what the last two games have been at all. Like I said, I think the factors of motivation on Florida's side in this game, I'm really, really interested to see how Michigan comes out and plays, particularly on the offensive side of the ball. Their biggest criticism was, you know, they have three wide receivers in Nico Collins, Tariq Black, Donovan Peoples-Jones. All three of those guys are excellent players, and I don't think they saw the ball nearly enough against Ohio State and maybe throughout the season. And so I'm interested to see if Michigan can, you know, match up with them. I know Gardner is playing, correct? So,
yep.
You know, then Florida's not having anybody sit out, you know, so they'll be at full force, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. So I think their defensive line will give Michigan some issues, and I think so that'll – With no Higdon, you know, I think there's an opportunity for them to maybe slow down that running game. Because, again, I do think Turner may be the guy that gets the most carries. Now you have a true freshman all of a sudden who the workload is on him, you know, and it's a real first opportunity. So I do think there's areas where Florida can really exploit Michigan offensively. I that's why I think it's going to be on them to throw the ball and to try to win this game. So I'm torn on who's going to win. I'd almost pick Florida because – you know, you're talking about four big-time players that Michigan's not going to have. You can't replace that, as well as some of the replacements may play. These are four guys that have the experience and have the talent to be big-timers. And, you know, it's Michigan's just they're in a no-win situation, in my opinion, because the fan base always out for blood. If they lose this game, they're going to get – they're going to – going to be a bunch of crap like they usually get, you know, the fans and some of the media. But then they also have these four top players who are all not going to be playing. And who knows, they may limit the snaps of some of the other seniors. It's hard to say. So I don't know. It's one of the weirder games I can remember. I think the game in Columbus really just sent things into just like a dizzying state right now because nobody expected Michigan to not lose but to get beat the way they did, and so I think everyone's just kind of like, yeah, we have no idea what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's kind of the way I see it too. I don't really know what, like you said, the players out and the mindset and you know, bowl games in general, I don't really know what to expect. You don't know the motivations of these teams, so glorified exhibitions, but this one should be fun in Atlanta in the Peach Bowl, a big time setting, so hopefully both teams come up willing to fight.
Should be a fun game. I assume it will be. Like I said, I think Florida has a real opportunity, in my opinion. I mean, that's kind of the way I'm looking at it. I think they have a real opportunity on Saturday.
Yeah, get your fans ready for some positive mojo, and definitely at least give Michigan a game for the first time in a while. So, that's Steve Lorenz from the Michigan Insider on the 24/7 Sports Network. Steve, thank you so much for joining us here on Gators Breakdown.
Appreciate it. Thanks as always.
Great insight there from Steve. And hey, let's get into this game. And of course, the big story, of course, the Michigan players sitting out here. Defensive end Rashawn Gary, linebacker Devin Bush, he's the Big Ten Player of the Year, and running back Caron Higdon, and also now recently the starting left tackle Juwan Bashel-Beatty, also now sitting out. He's been limited with an injury going back to 2 games ago versus Indiana, but didn't play versus Ohio State. But, hey, look, replacing Bush means you're replacing a team leading 79 tackles, 9 of those for a loss, and 5 sacks. As I mentioned, Big Ten Player of the Year there. So Michigan's going to have to replace Big Ten Player of the Year and all those stats there. And also on the other side of the ball in Higdon, Michigan has to replace a running back that averages 107 yards a game, 5.3 yards a carry, and gained 1,220 yards on the ground this year. And hey, look, you go look at Rashawn Gary as well. He missed 3 games this season, so he still gets kind of overlooked as much as a guy with his stature can get overlooked. But missed 3 games this season. But Michigan's pretty deep on the defensive line, but it's still tough to replace the best that Gary can bring. He's still ranked 5th on the team with 44 tackles. He also had 7.5 tackles for loss and 3.5 sacks on the year. So when he was on the field, he was still a big time impact player that, look, we saw last year when we played Michigan and we opened up with Michigan and what Bush and Gary and those guys could do. And Higdon came on this year. So Michigan's going to be missing a lot of star firepower here going in to this Peach Bowl. And let's take a look at just how good this Michigan defense has been over the course of the season. I have mentioned these stats in past episodes, but this is kind of a refresher there. I know some people I saw on Twitter wondering about this Michigan team and what we were getting in them. So these stats are only measuring when FBS schools have played each other. So no cupcake SES schools are included in the recorded stats for all the FBS teams here. So Michigan ranked 10th in the country and only giving up 17.6 points per game. By comparison, Mississippi State gives up 12.5 per game. They led the country there. So Michigan gives up about 5 more points a game than Mississippi State did when leading the nation there. The Wolverines are also number 1 in yards per game, only giving up 262.5 yards a game, and 3rd in yards per play with 4.2. To finish this out, they rank 19th in rushing yards allowed with 116 yards a game. The Gators average 210 yards a game on offense versus FBS opponents, and that's good for 25th in the nation. So something's going to have to give there. Will the Gators stick to the run game? Will they come out and pass the ball like they have many times this season? Or, will they try and wear down this Michigan defense? Either way, it's going to be tough. The Wolverines placed the number 1 overall pass defense in the nation, only giving up 146 yards per game through the air. The Gators are averaging 196.6 yards a game, ranking 94th in that category. So Gators going to have their work cut out for him. Felipe Franks going to have him work cut out for him if the Gators want to get something going through the air. But Felipe Franks on kind of a roll now since the second half of that South Carolina game, running and passing. So we'll see if that opens up some things against this really tough Michigan defense. Looking at their best game of the season, go back and look at that as well. Given the opponent, they held a pretty good Penn State offense to 7 points. On offense, they had 259 yards rushing. Michigan did. Held Penn State to 68 yards rushing. Trace McSorley, Penn State's quarterback, only had 83 yards passing, going 5 of 13. And Shea Patterson himself for Michigan was 11 of 17 for 144 yards. So, tell you what, held Penn State to 68 yards rushing. Trace McSorley only 83 yards passing, 5 of 13. Felipe Franks is going to have to outperform that, of course, if the Gators want to walk out of Atlanta with a victory here. So, Gators are going to have to put more points on the board than they did against a similar defense going back to kind of Mississippi State, one of the nation's best defenses. Gators only put up 13 points there. You wouldn't expect that to be enough points here to get a win versus Michigan. So, have to be putting up pretty good stats against one of the best defenses in the nation that the Gators will play this year. One advantage the Gators will have, if you want to move to the Gators defense, is Mullen and his experience are going to get Shea Patterson. Don't know how much that plays into it. We'll see. Kind of an up-tempo mobile quarterback. Those types have given Florida issues this season. Patterson averaged over 4 yards attempt on the ground, and most of that comes when the play breaks down. Mullen mentioned that's where Patterson is difficult to defend. Quote, he has the ability to improvise within the offense, not just take off and run to try and scramble to stay alive and make big plays. So Mullen coached against Patterson when Patterson was at Ole Miss back in 2016. So on the season this year, 2018, Patterson has thrown for 2,354 yards, 21 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. He's been a steady quarterback, but you know, not spectacular for the Wolverines here. So, you know, while we know the Gators' pass rush can wreak havoc, and with Michigan starting left tackle out for this game, there's going to be some opportunities to get to Patterson. You know, look for Ja'Kai Polite to come out wide on his pressure. He does that a lot. So, you know, keeping contained is a must here. But also keeping constant pressure will also be the key on Patterson. So it's going to be interesting to see how much Patterson can break contain if Polite is, I mean, his best pass rushes is when he goes out wide and gets around that tackle. So there's going to be opportunities for Patterson to make some play with his legs. So I think look for plays, big plays to go both ways here, especially when it involves Ja'Kai Polite coming off the edge. So, you know, hopefully, if you want to go back to Michigan's worst, you know, I've been describing here they're good. If you want to go back to their worst, that was their last game of the season, the last game that they played. You know, hopefully Florida can do something similar to Michigan to what Ohio State did to the Wolverines. Michigan entered that Ohio State game leading the nation, much like they do now in passing yards allowed per game, passing yards allowed per attempt, completion percentage allowed, passer rating allowed, led the nation in pass defense, you know, for the third season in a row going into that last game of the season. And the Buckeyes entered the game second nationally in total offense, so you knew what could be done from that Buckeyes offense, and it was Haskins and the Buckeyes in that offense that really showed up. Buckeyes, Ohio State, 62 points, marked the second most Michigan has allowed in 139 seasons. Also marked the most games Jim Harbaugh has ever allowed as a head coach, and the most defensive coordinator Don Brown has ever surrendered as a defensive coordinator. Ohio State finished the game with 573 yards of offense on 8.8 yards per play. And you know, we talked about how good that Michigan defense was, but no pass rush versus Ohio State. Michigan 31 sacks on the season, none versus Ohio State. Michigan pressure on Dwayne Haskins, non-existent. Buckeyes quarterback picked apart Michigan. And it was mostly because Michigan couldn't get to it. Couldn't get to him, and he picked him apart, crossing routes. Wide receivers, Buckeye wide receivers open all game long. 0 sacks on Haskins when he finished with 318 yards passing, 5 touchdown passes as well, 19-30. So, you know, Michigan was expected to take advantage of Ohio State's kind of weakness being along their offensive line, and it was the direct opposite. So, Florida's offensive line, you know, much maligned in the past. Really good season this year. Doesn't give up a lot of sacks. Felipe Franks gets rid of the ball. So it was going to, you know, I do expect Michigan to get some pressure. I think play calling will kind of help there. Do we go back to what we saw versus Michigan and a ton of screens? That option play with Franks and Piran that was so popular at midpoint of the season. I think we're going to see a lot more of those plays there. So looking at what Michigan did on offense against Ohio State, 161 total rushing yards, and the Ohio State defensive front able to pressure Patterson all game, sacked him 3 times, and knocked him out of the game. So if you can get to him there, you know, he may not be able to stay healthy as he's coming off of their last game, not finishing the game. They knocked him out. I think he did finish the game, Shea Patterson did, but Ohio State was able to knock him out there. So all in all, what we got here? Mullen, 6-2 in bowl games over 8 seasons. At Mississippi State, would have been 7-2 if you want to count last year's Tax Slayer Bowl win against Louisville, and that was Dan Mullen's team. But he was already here at Florida and didn't coach that game there. So I think there's plenty of motivation from the Gator side here, going for 10 wins, putting a statement on the turnaround season, beating Michigan for the first time, and a little redemption from last year's opener versus Michigan. Yes, it's a different year, but you know, too many players on this team were embarrassed last year versus Michigan. It was Frank's first start. Offensive line was pushed around. Jordan Scarlett didn't play because of the credit card scandal. The defense was pushed around by a very average Michigan offense. Many of the Michigan players were on that team playing as well. So there's plenty of incentive for redemption on this Gators team. And I'm not going to sit here and say Florida players care more about this game, because I don't know that, you know, for sure. Even though you see Michigan players are sitting out, you know, I'm more in the line of thought that bowl games are pretty much meaningless exhibitions. But when you miss one like Florida did last year, and you're trying to put a statement on a turnaround year, I think it does, you know, send the message that the players are taking this a little bit more serious by not sitting out and playing. So we'll see how that part of it plays out. You know, the players playing for Michigan may come in and play with all their heart, and the Gators may come out and do the same. I do hope that's what we get, and it still lead to a Gators blowout. I see the thought out there from fans that the outcome of this game might be hit with an asterisk because Michigan players sitting out. Well, oh well. That's not our problem, that's their problem. I'll remember a win if it happens. I won't remember how it happened. Putting a 10-win mark on Dan Mullen's first season. So, you know, it's the last game of the year, and I'll enjoy it. Maybe we can just hope that the Gators can claim a national championship by winning the Peach Bowl like UCF did last season. But with all that said, you know, let's go with the prediction on the Gators here. 27 and Michigan 20. I do think it'll be a pretty game. I don't think it'll be a pretty game stats-wise here. Maybe a defensive touchdown, special teams touchdown somewhere in there. But I do think we'll see some fun, something we haven't seen this season. Emory Jones will probably get some playing time here. Maybe kind of a little bit more than what we saw against Georgia in that package. I'd probably look for Franks to get a big majority of the snaps. But Emory Jones may be a package here and there, and expansion on that package as well. Some more plays we probably haven't seen from him, too. Now, look for an up-and-down day from Shea Patterson, the Michigan quarterback, but I think it'll be a big Ja'Kai Polite hit late in the game that seals it for the Gators. And the Gators walk out of the Peach Bowl, get their 10th win of the season, and kind of an exclamation point on the 2018 season and looking ahead to the 2019 campaign. So I'll be in Atlanta for the game, getting in late Friday night. I'll be around Saturday before the game and after the game around downtown Atlanta, so keep an eye out, and let's go have some fun in Atlanta as Gator Nation, hopefully with a Gators victory, but should be a good time, should be fun. You see all the videos that the social media team for the Gators is putting out. They're having a lot of fun as well. So, you know, last game of the season, let's go have some fun, and hopefully an exclamation point, as I said, to end this season. Thanks to Steve Lorenz from 24/7 Sports and the Michigan Insider for joining me here and giving the Michigan side of things. Pretty good preview there, getting you set and ready for the Peach Bowl. I'm your host of Gators Breakdown, David Waters. You can find me on Twitter at GatorDave_SEC. Guys and girls out there, thanks for listening to this episode of Gators Breakdown.